This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand. Yesterday in the program, we introduced you to a man named Gary Greff. He's trying to save his dying hometown of Regent, North Dakota through art and tourism. Since 1992, Greff has been building a series of giant metal sculptures along a lonely stretch of country road. He calls it the Enchanted Highway. The idea is that tourists will come to drive the Enchanted Highway and, one day, visit a metal art theme park in Regent. In part two of their profile of Gary Greff, producers Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister pick up the story in the mid-1990s. Greff had convinced people in his town to help fund the project. He and a band of local farmers had built the first sculpture, a giant tin family. Our narrator is Elizabeth Meister.
In 1995, Gary and many of the same farmers who helped with the tin family finished a massive silhouette of Teddy Roosevelt on a rearing horse 3 miles further north. 2 years later, and 3 more miles up the Enchanted Highway, a giant pheasant family appeared.
Go up a little bit!
Here, Gary is moving a profile of a pair of leaping deer from his workshop in town down Main Street to their site 25 miles north on the Enchanted Highway.
He's gonna lift with the crane!
The buck is 70 feet tall and 60 feet long. The doe is almost as big.
This one's a heavy sucker, though.
Both are cut from scrap metal and meticulously welded together like a massive metal quilt.
Just wait a minute. We're going to spin it. We're going to lift it up.
It takes 3 hours just to lift the buck and the doe onto the truck. And even then, it's a little like trying to balance a giant pancake on a butter knife. There's a lot of deer jiggling off both sides. The flatbed, driven by farmer Ron Schauer, finally pulls onto Main Street, but almost immediately, there's an obstacle.
Should have had it measured out before we come this way. I don't think I can get through.
The street lights on Main Street are strategically placed right across from one another.
Ah, got it.
Making it impossible for the mother of all wide loads to weave through.
I'd have swore Main Street would have never given me no problem.
Yeah, we can't even get through unless we cut some stuff off.
I agree, we can do that. Go for it.
Okay.
We'll go get the torches and...
I got one torch at the...
My torch.
Oh, Lordy. Gave up a job of teaching and being a principal for this.
There it went.
Ready to roll again.
Minus part of an antler and foot, the buck and doe roll down Main Street and out of town, with the local sheriff in the lead.
I just stay far enough ahead of him to warn any traffic that is coming down the road that he's a wide load, and boy, he is a wide load.
Along the way, the giant deer hit the sign to Larson Lake, terrify a few oncoming drivers.
Stop that truck! Stop that truck!
And narrowly miss a few mailboxes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
The deer finally arrive at the site.
Going up.
And two cranes raise them carefully into place.
It's going up.
Hold together, please hold together. Please hold together.
It's dangerous, but it looks pretty nice when it's up.
Like I said, it'll make history one day. One day in North Dakota, even though the state doesn't believe it's going to make history, it's going to be one of North Dakota's major tourist attractions.
I think it's wonderful.
Wonderful. You bet.
Like sweethearts at a drive-in movie, Fred and Rosella Forsch sit in their car and watch.
This is supposed to be a deer, I guess.
That's what they said.
Oh, give it 6 weeks. It'll look different than it does now.
You know, it's amazing part of it. It's all made out of junk.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be another very interesting art piece on this road. I call it art.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I wish there would be a little bit more support for him. This is costing money. Don't tell anybody it isn't.
There ain't no more donations like it used to be.
Gary had promised Regent that their investment, an estimated $25,000, would pay off. He promised that tourists and their money would flood the town. But by the late 1990s, the only thing that had changed was the town's willingness to continue funding the project.
People says that's enough. You know, he should go get some help other places. It got to the point they were crossing the other side of the street because they didn't want to see him anymore.
It's not that people aren't in favor of it, but when some of these people are probably earning $15,000, $20,000 a year, there's a limit as to what they can give. We're not a booming community here where we're making gods of money.
Wednesday, August 25th, I'm more or less by myself. I've lost my helpers.
As he began work in 1999 on his sculpture, Grasshoppers in the Field, Gary kept up his usual Sunday night calls to farmers, fishing for volunteers. But with each season, he found fewer and fewer takers.
Well, it's harder to get them because they got older. And there's less of them. There's just less people. I mean, you got one instead of 10 farmers, now you got one or two, you know.
July 6, 1999. You see it starting to take shape, the big grasshopper.
Gary would routinely put in 16-hour days, crafting the more than 60 metal pieces that made up the grasshopper's skeletal jigsaw. His family spotted him more than once, working all by himself, clinging to the top of the grasshopper's wobbly 50-foot antenna.
Gary working on the antennas of the grasshopper, trying to get them painted the right colors, but of course taking chances as usual.
Here's Gary painting, trying to kill himself again, painting the wheat stalks out of the grasshoppers.
He wonders why people call him crazy.
Some in town joked that the grasshoppers looked a little crazy.
That big one looks like somebody pulled the back end off, like we did when we was kids.
Before the grasshoppers went up was when Regent was the hardest on him.
Gary's brother, Brad Graff.
People in town saying that I wish that he would have never started the Enchanted High. We're just going to get a bunch of riffraff in town, and it's never going to help our community none. And it's all he's looking for is publicity for himself. And that hurt him a lot.
The final straw came on Election Day, 1999. Gary had been on the city council for the previous 4 years, but he lost his seat to candidates who opposed the Enchanted Highway. Brother Brad.
He'd come to me and say, you know, maybe I should just stop this whole thing. And I said, heck no, this is your dream. I mean, you're not stopping it now.
Many wonder why Gary kept going. Some think it's because of something that happened on Main Street in Regent when Gary was a teenager.
I had a brother that was 1 year younger than me. We grew up together, basically, and the dad got us a motorcycle. That was before helmets were. It was a fall night, and I was driving, and I looked back to look at another kid or something, and we hit the curb and flipped the motorcycle, and he ended up landing on his head and died immediately. And I was 16, he was 15.
Brad Graff.
Maybe he felt, that, you know, I know he did, that it was his fault, you know, that all happened, and he could never reverse that. But maybe by doing this project, that it's a way for him to say that I am worth something, and I'm a good person, and I can do good things, you know. In spite of what happened and my mistake, you know, on that one fateful night, you know.
Enchanted Highway is not the end of my project. The end of my project is to a shrine. And that was something I promised him when the accident occurred. And hopefully it'll get going before I pass on, but it will happen.
We will conclude our story on tomorrow's program. Join us to hear about the world's largest metal sculpture and, finally, the arrival of tourists to Regent. The Enchanted Highway is produced by Elizabeth Meister and Dan Collison for Long Haul Productions in association with Chicago Public Radio. The editor is Gary Covino. You can see photos of Gary's sculptures and hear part one of his story. Go to our website, npr.org.